as we gather around the written word and listen to the spoken word, may we meet with the living word, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So, as I said, this morning we're continuing to explore this theme, this value of loving our neighbours. But this morning's sermon is going to be a little bit different. Normally, I spend quite a lot of time talking about the passages and the theology behind them and pulling them out and explaining it all. And then I'll probably put at the end a little paragraph just about how we might apply them in our lives and how we might put them into practice. This morning, it's going to be the other way around. We've been exploring this value of loving our neighbours, and we've thought about welcome and hospitality and being accepting. And this week, as we've said, as we've seen with Philip and the Ethiopian, we're thinking about sharing, showing our love for our neighbours by sharing our faith with them. And it seems to me that the passages that Liz and Andy read for us this morning are fairly clear about this. They're fairly clear how important it is. It does exactly what it says on the tin. It doesn't need lots of explanation. You see, in Mark's eyewitness account of Jesus' life, we hear him sharing a sense of urgency with his disciples, telling them about the kind of things that are going to happen after he's returned to heaven. And he gives them an instruction. Don't worry about what you're going to say when you're called to defend your faith. The Holy Spirit will teach you what to say. So, our first easy takeaway for this morning, when we're thinking about sharing our faith, is this. Don't be anxious about it. Don't worry, but ask the Holy Spirit to give you the words. Don't be anxious about it. Don't worry. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you the words. In Paul's letter to the Christians in Rome, he echoes this urgency that Jesus shared with his disciples. He describes the basics of the Christian faith, acknowledging Jesus as Lord in words and in actions, believing in Jesus as our rescuer and doing what he says as our commander. And then he gives us this chain of rhetorical questions. How can they call on the Lord if they don't believe? And how can they believe if they haven't heard? And how can they hear if no one speaks? And how can we speak unless we're sent? So, second easy takeaway for this morning, as we're thinking about sharing our faith, is this. For our neighbours to be saved, we have to go when and where we're sent and speak. For our neighbours to be saved, we have to go where and when we're sent and speak. So that's the theology out the way. Two easy takeaways. And so on to the practical stuff. I said there'd be more practical stuff this morning. I wanted to share with you some of the things we've got coming up in the life of the churches over the next couple of months that I hope, will give us an opportunity to exercise our faith, to show our love for our neighbours. And when I was thinking about this, I was planning it, I was a bit concerned that it might just come across as an extended notices section. Now, I know the Church of England survives on notices, and there will actually be another notices section later. But then I thought about it, and I thought, actually, the fact that me talking about the things we're doing to share our faith together sounds a bit like our normal notices is actually a good thing. It's a sign of life in our church that quite a lot of our notices have to do with things we're doing to share our faith. So, no apology, really. So, the first thing that's coming up is All Saints Day. When is All Saints Day? Thank you very much. 1st of November. There you are. Somebody's awake. And of course, we are All Saints Church, so it's our festival. For the last couple of years, in late October, we've had a light party for families down in the parish centre. We've invited folk to come along and play autumn games and talked about Jesus being the light of the world in what can be a spiritually dark time of year and is a physically dark time of year. We can't do that this year. So instead, We're laying a pumpkin of light trail. Thank you very much. Members of the church who live in the vicinity of this building, like within walking distance, are going to be asked, or have been asked, not sure where Caroline's up to it with, in their windows or on the outside of their house, a pumpkin with a word on it, all lit up. And then anyone who wants to do the trail will come here and be given a map, and they'll walk around the houses and collect the words, and guess what the words will spell, give you? A Bible verse. There you go. And then everyone who takes part will give them a goodie bag. Now, on the same night, we may be taking part in an art installation called Light of Hope. It's happening at Lichfield Cathedral, and the diocese have invited other churches to take part if they'd like to. And the idea is... Oh, could we have the first slide, please, Nathaniel? So this is what it looked like at Lichfield. These massive, great industrial lights shining up into the ceiling. You know, like on a foggy night when you shine a torch into the sky and it makes a bit of a beam going up. Imagine that 100-fold. As a kind of sign, it's an art installation, it's a sign of hope into the community. Now, I say we may take part in this one because I'm not sure, honestly, about the use of the money. I've had a couple of quotes. It'll cost us about 450 quid to do this for one evening. Which seems a lot for one evening's event, doesn't it? You need a couple of people and all the hire of the lights and things. But I was thinking about it, maybe it's a bit, I don't know, maybe it's a bit like pouring the perfume onto Jesus' feet. Is it a waste or is it a beautiful expression of hope? I'm genuinely torn. I genuinely don't know. And whilst the church finances are in pretty good shape, given the year we've had, this isn't budgeted for. So I'm not sure I can justify it. But here's the deal. If you're here this morning or if you're listening on the stream and you are fired by the idea and you think it's a brilliant idea and you've got some money you'd like to put towards it, let me know by tomorrow morning. And if we've got enough, we'll do it. It's easy. Even if we don't do this, we are going to be doing the pumpkin trail. So how else can you take part? Well, come and do the trail. Invite families you know from the school gates to do it with you. Or if that's more than six of you, to do it safely spaced from you. Perhaps more, think about how you might respond positively and safely if people do or knock on your door trick-and-treating. I suspect there won't be much trick-and-treating this year. But what might your reaction be if you do get a knock on the door? If we do this and we put pictures of it on social media, share them with all your friends, tell them about it. Pray for the families who are doing this pumpkin trail that need the hope of Jesus' light in their lives, that they will get that hope. They'll get that hope. So that's the first thing. The second thing that's coming up is Advent, the time of year that we prepare for Christmas celebrations. We spend some time in Advent looking back at creation and the story of the people of God, and how that led up to Jesus' birth, and how we look forward to when Jesus will come again to reign and bring his complete kingdom on earth. Now, when does Advent start? Oh, come on, you knew when All Saints' Day was. When does Advent start? Beginning of December, all right. And it's only October now, you may have noticed. But so that we can do what we want to do in Advent, we're going to need to think a bit ahead. This Advent, we're going to be using Jesse trees to help us to think about getting ready for Christmas. And we've got a little bit of video now. Yeah, that's a picture of one. We've got a little bit of video. Jo Saunders, who uses Jesse trees every year, is going to show us hers.
This is our Jesse tree. There are many different variations, but they all tell the stories leading up to Jesus' birth and are part of our preparation for Christmas. Adding the pieces to it day by day has become an Advent tradition in our home. We start with the bare branch on the 1st of December, and by Christmas I'm usually struggling to find enough twigs to take the last few decorations. As our daughters have now grown up and left home, I take a photo every day and send it to them. By the time they get home, it's nearly full. The lights are up inside and outside, and their job is to decorate our Christmas tree. The decorations take us all the way through the Old Testament, from creation to Noah, Abraham, Ruth, David, and so on, and to the prophets who foretold Jesus' birth. The last few are the New Testament stories, for Mary, Joseph, the coming of the Magi to Bethlehem, and John the Baptist. I made our decorations, and here are some of the ones that go on the tree. This is the story of creation, where the land was separated from the sea. These stars, too numerous in the sky to count, symbolising the descendants of Abraham. Here's the Passover lamb. And these are the Ten Commandments. This sheaf of wheat represents Boaz and Ruth. And this is the stump of Jesse, who the tree is named after. Isaiah tells us, a sheep will come from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. And in fact, here we have the wisdom of Solomon. And here's the whale where Jonah spent 3 days and three nights. And some of the New Testament ones. Here we've got Bethlehem, when the Magi came to visit with the star in the sky. Here we have the baby John the Baptist in Elizabeth's womb, who leapt when Mary came to visit. And here we have the baptismal shell, which symbolising the baptisms that John did in the River Jordan before Jesus baptised. And this one up the top here, which you can just see, is the baby Jesus in the crib on Christmas Day.
Thank you, Jo. Do you get the idea? Yeah. So Jo made those decorations herself from bits of fabric and all those kind of things. What we're going to be doing is providing packs for families to be able to make one at home. We'll have sheets with all the images on, so they can either make cloth ones themselves or the children can colour them in and hang them themselves. We're working with local schools. I've already got two local schools on board. They were going to have them in their classrooms and have them as class projects through Advent. And we're going to make one of the trees in the churchyard into a great big one. And we're going to have 25 wooden circles about this big that each will need one of the images putting on. And I'm going to distribute those amongst families in the church and community members and in the schools. And then each of those is going to get decorated. And we're going to do short videos of people coming to hang them. And then we'll put one of those videos each day through Advent on our social media profile. So it's in families, it's in classrooms, it's physically in the churchyard, and it's online, telling the story of the people of God through Advent in preparation for Christmas. So if you'd like to be part of that, let me know. If you'd like a big wooden one to colour in or to decorate or to paint, whatever, let me know. They should be arriving this week. If you'd like a pack, let me know. I'm writing those this week. So they'll be in with you in plenty of time, so you can make your decorations and stuff and then do it all the way through Advent. Okay? Great. And the third thing coming up, we've had All Saints and Advent, and what do you think comes next? Christmas. And what date is Christmas? There's lots of hilarity here in church. 25th of December. We are still working on the details of our Christmas services, but we are not going to be able to do our normal crib service or carols by candlelight with 400 people in here. I can say that now. We're not going to have hundreds of school children and families coming through this building for their Christmas services and their carol service this year. So we're going to have to find ways of going to them. Could we have the next picture, please? So every year we do get a batch of these Hope at Christmas magazines, and I'm grateful to Barbie Hume for reminding me of that this year. Normally, we give them out to people when they come to our Christmas services. Can't do that this year. So guess what we're going to do? Deliver them. I would love to be able to put one of these through every house letterbox in the parish. We want to include a postcard telling people that we're praying for them this Christmas and inviting them to take part in probably what will be online Christmas services. Fiona Wright and the Mission and Discipleship Action Group are going to be organising this. And in early December, we're going to be asking people to sign up to deliver these magazines. This is a great opportunity for us to show our love for our neighbours by sharing our faith with them. And I think we can probably cover the cost of this from our mission budget, but, as always, any additional contributions towards the cost of buying these magazines would be gratefully received. So get in touch with Liz Lawson, our treasurer, if you'd like to contribute financially towards that. As we consider what God is calling each of us individually to do as part of these projects, I just want to finish with a reminder of those two easy takeaways from our Bible readings. For our neighbours to be saved, we have to go when and where we're sent and speak. Don't be anxious about this, but ask the Holy Spirit to give you the words. For our neighbours to be saved, we have to go when and where we're sent and speak. Don't be anxious about this, but ask the Holy Spirit to give you the words. Amen.